You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
My next guest believes that everybody has strengths, but not everyone knows what their strengths are, and some people don't think they have any. If you're one of those women who don't see your own gifts and talents, Studio 5 relationship contributor Dr. Matt Townsend wants to help change your perception. He's sharing 5 research-backed ways to boost your self-confidence, which, shot in the arm, we all need this every now and then.
A little pick-me-up.
Yeah.
And the things are already in you. You've already got confidence. You just have to maybe uncover it and then shine a little light on it, and then those little seedlings will grow.
Okay, that's actually an interesting point, that it's already there.
It's there.
We think we have to build it or grow it or develop it. It's there. You just have to see it.
Yeah, most of this is already
in you. Does this come up in your practice a lot?
Yeah, and so remember, confidence is the ability to trust yourself, right? And so self-confidence, it's something that impacts how we talk, it impacts what we say, it impacts what we dare say, what we don't say. Mm-hmm. It impacts the beliefs we have, our expectations. Everything about our relationships are about how you hold yourself and how you believe in yourself. And then what we try to do is we try to get everyone else in the world to be everything we need so we have confidence, instead of trying to make ourselves just confident. Mm-hmm. And then it almost doesn't matter as much what everyone else is doing, right? Because we stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or that tree.
I know it's more an internal thing, as you described, but I saw a beautiful physical demonstration of it a couple of weeks ago. I was at an event, a lot of hustle bustle, talking, mingling.
Yeah.
There was one woman who I know, love, and respect, who had taken a seat in the corner, was enjoying her plate by herself. And I looked over there and just felt this sense of like that, the exhale of like,
that's
fine.
That's so nice.
I'm just here.
But how many little kids in the cafeteria were just anxiously worried about sitting alone?
Yeah.
And then, but it almost takes an adult that knows herself to be able to do that.
To
or
do that.
An antisocial person that just can't stand it.
Just wanted to get out
of
there.
One of those two.
One of those two. You have 5 research-backed ways to boost our confidence. And first you say we have to adopt what you call the beginner's mindset.
The beginner's mindset. The beginner's mindset. Think of that. Think of something you started and did for the first time ever in your life. When you walked into that moment to learn it, you didn't have all these preconceived ideas of how it needed to be. You were just a learner. So if we would start to approach life with a beginner's mindset, what happens is we have so many options for what can happen as we're as a beginner, but the kind of the more professional, the better you get at something, the fewer options that we have. It's got to be done this way. It's got to be done the right way. This is the only way to do it. So the minute you have too many preconceived ways to do something, it's going to create more anxiety and more failure. Mm-hmm. Have the beginner's mindset where you're like, what does this need to teach me? What do I need to learn? How can I make it better? It's not about perfect. It's just about progressing.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, when was the last time I felt like a beginner?
Yeah.
Meaning it's so easy as an adult, and you touched on that, to get comfortable and complacent.
Yeah.
Like it almost pushes me, that idea pushes me toward an idea of sign up or show up as a beginner.
What's
with something.
Which for all of us, that'd be so great. What's something you need to just go start, but you don't dare do it because you should be better at it than anyone thinks?
But be a beginner.
Yeah, be a beginner.
Be a beginner.
Go try it.
And take that mindset. You want us to conquer a bad habit.
Yeah. Do you know how long it's been since I've had a Diet Coke?
Did you quit the DC?
Yeah, but I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell me.
207 days.
Mister.
And counting.
Okay.
And I haven't bit my nails for 54 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're counting this?
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
And I haven't slept.
They're looking good.
I wake up every morning at 5:30, and I've done that about 80% of the days for about the last 140 days. 5:30 in the morning, I'm up, and I'm growing and learning, and so I'm in the 5 a.m. club. These are just little goals that I set, and you know what? And nobody knows about them.
I didn't
But they're changing my life.
How so?
Because I now know I can do hard things. Things that I never thought I could do, like quit Diet Coke. Like, that was my lifeline. And now I don't need it.
Yeah.
I actually don't. Now, I still think about it and like, no, I don't need it. So creating a goal, making a habit, and the easiest way to make a habit, we call habit stacking.
Mm-hmm.
Take whatever that one thing you just know would be so great to get over that hump in your life. Take that goal and then stack it to something you already do. If you already, like, I've been drinking more protein And that actually gets me more energy in the morning, and then I exercise, so I don't need my morning caffeine. That made that an easier job for me.
I'm a little curious that you're tracking and counting. Is that part of the process for you?
Part of it is sharing it with everybody that you care about to know. So my family knows my goals that I've been accomplishing. And then the other thing I like to do is track it, and there's apps that are free that can track how many days you've done something.
Well, they call it a streak, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. And once you get on the streak, and once you get about 55 days doing something, it's going to be more habitual.
Okay, so pick a habit.
Yep, pick a habit.
If Matt can do it, you can do it.
Tie it to something you already
do. I don't know, Diet Coke, you've set the bar really high. You want us to take inventory of something really beautiful. You want us to take inventory of our gifts and our talents.
And there's so many things that we do great. And the hard part is, well, yeah, but I'm not a dancer. That's a very big talent, right? But you can break that down. You're not a dancer, but you really, you love dance. That's a gift. That you appreciate art, that you care about people. Start to break down your goals and I want you to make a list and try to find 50 things that you're really good at. Mm. And if you don't know, then sit people down and ask them, what do you think I'm really good at? And you'll be amazed. At first, they'll think the big things. Then you start thinking about just the little kind of narrow, more intangible things that actually matter more. You're really good at making people feel comfortable. And then write that down. Because if all of a sudden you can find 50 things you're good at, then guess what? You're pretty awesome. And once you start accounting for how awesome you are, so this is literally accounting for the gifts you've been given and the talents you've been given, then start offering them more.
So it's kind of a worship point. I mean, you're kind of saying thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of
saying,
I'm grateful.
Gratitude.
And those granular things, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but I remember one time I ran into a high school teacher that I admired, looked up to, a big mentor in my life during those formative years, and she was commenting on my professional resume, and she made the very casual observation. She goes, I'm not surprised because you saw people in the hallways, like you see people. And it meant a lot to me just because, you know, you could think that this talent needs to be big and huge and on TV, but she saw it in the humble hallways
of
the high school.
That's the witness I dig in.
School, yeah.
How powerful would that have been for your self-esteem and confidence to know that young?
Then,
while you were in the hallways.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
so doing this with our children and making a real accountability of it and then sharing those gifts more, that all of a sudden breeds the confidence in yourself.
You say if we want more confidence, we can't believe what we think.
Stop it.
Isn't that confidence, though?
No. A lot of what you think is absolutely wrong. And if you keep believing everything you think, then you keep doing everything you do. And if what you do and how you think doesn't generate feelings of confidence, now, right? So I want you to just rethink it. So one of the keys to this is, like, how many times have you had an automatic thought, like, oh, I'm not good at that. Townsends don't do math. We're not math people. And so if I have that automatic thought, but it's wrong, so what I want everyone to do is start noticing what you're thinking that is making you not feel confident, and then ask yourself, is that true? Is that true? Well, that was true in fifth grade. I couldn't do times tables very fast.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
Yeah.
And then challenge it a little bit and then gather data that's contrary to it. And then what would you like it to be? And choose a better thought, right? Townsends are okay in math and we're really good with people.
Yeah.
And we start to change it to a better, healthier thought.
30 quick seconds. This is the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
If you want better confidence, if you want to find that inner confidence, sit up straight and smile.
Your body will lead. Your body will tell you. We know that when people score a touchdown, their hands go up naturally. They're all excited. They naturally take poses that are bigger and stronger. You want more power and confidence with people. Smile more. Open up your body more.
Okay.
And just be more present with people.
I like this. Easy, doable things. And then we're mourning the Diet Coke for you, but we're proud of you at the same time. Yeah. Tell us more about your Becoming One program.
Becoming One is huge. This has changed my life in a way where I'm running out of time to work with people. So now I'm putting it all online and people can take what would be normally the cost for 1 hour with me.
Mm-hmm.
In a year, you could get that with Becoming One. But you get 4 hours a month of time with me, asking me any questions you want for coaching. You can go online to our programs. We have workshops, classes. We have all these tools online. It's very inexpensive, and it's changing lives. And it gives me a chance to literally work with hundreds of people in a more affordable way.
It's awesome.
Go to MattTownsend.com.
MattTownsend.com. Took the website out of my mouth. We appreciate you, friend.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.